2, and now I'm running way over, but we're going to try to cover at least the two things, the virgin birth, the fall of man, and if possible, we'll cover the virgin birth. The fall of man, go with us to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start here in just a minute. Genesis chapter number 3, the fall of man. It says here in the Constitution, and I'm still amending things, and I'll give you final copies long before we get to the point of constitute the church, because I noticed I wanted to add at least one more verse into this part for Genesis chapter 3. It says 1 through 6. I wanted 1 through 7 just because of what we're saying here. The fall of man. We believe that man was created in innocence under the law of his maker in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. That by his own free choice and willful decision fell into sin and thereby incurred not only physical death, but also spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. We believe that all human beings are born with a sinful nature and are totally depraved, that man does not possess any qualities whereby he may reconcile himself to God or to save himself from the eternal consequence of sin. Man in his sinful condition is under just condemnation without defense or excuse. That's what we're saying when we talk about the fall of man, that we are under that condemnation. Like I said this morning, those that are not saved are under that condemnation. Those of us that are saved are free from that condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them who are. How's it go? Now I've forgotten. Romans 8:1 said there is now therefore Romans 5. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, okay? So this is talking about man in general. Men, there's nothing in us. The only thing we can do is just accept the free gift of God, which is a salvation. We are fallen man. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This is how Satan works. Satan works in questioning God, questioning God's commandments, questioning. God will put that in your mind. Scripture. I may say something. I may read you a scripture that you don't agree with. Hey, you need to ask yourself, are you disagreeing with me or are you disagreeing with God's word? Satan likes to send in deceit. Satan likes to send in question. Some people say, well, I don't believe that, preacher. I don't believe that only men should be preachers. Give me scripture to back it up and I'll believe it. Until then, the Bible says that a bishop is to be a man of God. He is to have his house, have his wife in subjection. He's to rule well his house. God never allows for divorce, men or women. God never allows for a woman to be a preacher. That's what the Bible says. It's not trying to be mean. It's not me trying to be rude. That's one of the main things that Satan likes to question, because he likes getting people sideways. That's what term we use down where we're from. People try to get people out of sorts. Anything he can, that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to get you to question God's word, to question the man of God. I'm not above messing up. I've said it before. I'm not above mistakes. If I make a mistake, I'm sorry. I can admit it. But if it's God's word, I will not admit any mistake concerning that. So that's what he did here to the woman. He got the woman to question what God said. Ye shall not eat. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, which God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Flip over to chapter 2, verse 17. I'll show you here's what God told them. Genesis 2:17. Here's what God commanded. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He did not tell them they couldn't touch it. But he got the woman. He got the woman deceived, messed up. Now, this does go with other things that God says about the woman being deceived. But it's just, hey, men are just as deceived a lot of times. Now, Adam was not deceived. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing when he plunged us into death because he loved Eve that much. But the woman was deceived. This is why it's important to know Scripture, because people are easily deceived by preachers, by leaders. People think you put a name, pastor or preacher or father or whatever, in front of it, and suddenly they can't make mistakes or misinterpret Scripture. I told you, if I miss something, I'm sorry, I can make mistakes. But if you're arguing with what the Bible says, I won't apologize for that. If I mess up, you can come to me. I will admit, I will say I'm wrong. But if it's Scripture, I will not. I will not deny the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. I've had somebody that in the past here that did not believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, did not accept the blood of Jesus Christ, fully rejected it. I will not apologize to that. That's the example I give you. I will not, because the Bible makes it very clear that we are purchased by the blood, that we are cleansed by the blood, that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. So all that I will not apologize for that thing. But again, I can make mistakes. The woman was deceived here. God told them not to eat of it. The woman misinterpreted, misunderstood Scripture. But that's what Satan wants. Listen, if you go from here and you think I've said something wrong, or you heard it wrong, or maybe I said it wrong, don't get mad. Come talk to me. It does happen. Sometimes I may say something wrong. I may quote the Bible wrong. I'm not perfect at reading it, okay? I make mistakes. Sometimes people hear what they want to. Don't get out of sorts. Don't get mad. Come to me and talk to me. We'll go over what the Bible says one-on-one, unless it's a lady, and then it's me and my wife and you. But I'm just telling you, we don't apologize for the Word of God. I don't make excuses for the Word of God. I don't try to change the Word of God to fit my narrative. Okay? I do my best to try to adhere to what that Bible says. I don't try to change it. An example is Calvinists. A Calvinist believed, y'all, most of you know, Calvinists believe that certain people are predestined for heaven, certain people are predestined for hell. And what they'll do, this is how they'll miss, they'll try to, this is manipulate the Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does that Scripture mean? It means God so loved the world, right? To me, there's no way to misinterpret that. God loved the world. Calvinists will tell you that means the world, only those that are appointed to be saved. You see the difference? They take a Scripture and they'll make that Scripture fit what fits their doctrine. People will take one verse of Scripture and they'll run with it. Trying to think of some of the stuff that I hadn't really even studied on Jehovah's Witnesses in a long time, because we're not really running into them, so I haven't spent a lot of time studying them. But Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was a created being, not God. And they'll take one Scripture and they'll run with it, and they'll do it. One of the Scriptures that they, or one of the things they believe, that they'll say that Jesus was nailed to the cross, but only by one nail. Well, that's hard to believe, because the Bible says that nails, that he was multiple. They believe that he was crucified with his hands over the top of his head. This is just one that they misinterpret. They believe Jesus was crucified, that was the only nail holding him up there. Well, the Bible plainly says that he had nails in his feet. He's got prints in his feet, like he does in his hands. But that's why they misinterpret Scripture. So this is why it's important. Why? Because Satan, even in 2022, Satan is still deceiving people with the Word of God. He's still manipulating people. I believe that he will use the Word of God still to deceive people to worship him. Because I believe there will still be people that may not fully understand and may not be saved, or they've rejected God, but they know what the Bible says. But Satan will use this Bible, or use a Bible, whatever version he uses, to manipulate and trick people into believing that he is God in the flesh. So anyway, let me move on. So he said, she said that we're not to eat, neither are we to touch it. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. So now, I would say at this point, and I'm, because I'm trying to read into scripture, but I'm trying to look at it in what he's trying. He says, ye shall not surely die. Well, how's she going to know that unless she's touched it at this point? See, she's been deceived now into Satan's question and what God said. And she said, well, God said we're not to eat of it, neither are we to touch it, or we'll die. And he said, well, you're not going to surely die. Why would he say that unless apparently she's either on the verge or has touched the fruit and has not died? And so Satan's, that's the way he does. He's trying to get her to do this. Satan knows exactly what he's going to do, but it did not take God by surprise. We read that this morning in Peter, that but before the foundation of this world, that Christ was ordained before the foundation of this world to die on Calvary's cross. God, this did not take God by surprise, but this is how man failed. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Is that not exactly what's going on in our day and time? That Satan's still getting people to either worship him or to convince them that they're gods. You're gods. You don't need God. That's what atheism is basically telling yourself that you're your own God. You created yourself. You're a self-made man. That you don't need God. That's what it is. That's what's led to this depravity of man. He says here, verse 6, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise. And she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and also and gave also unto her husband with her. Think about that. And he did eat with her. Men, this is why God, this is not putting off on women, but God did say that women are the weaker vessel. We're still weak, we're still fallen, but women are the weaker vessel. He was with her. I don't think I heard any men preach on that. I may preach a message on that. He says right there that Adam was with her when this is going on. Why did he step in? Why did he protect her as the man, like he's supposed to be? I don't understand that. He says he's with her, or she is with him. Adam's right there with her. Maybe he's just a little few feet off. I don't know. But if you know, hey brother, if you saw some animal talking to your wife, you'd probably go over, hey, what's going on over here? I don't understand it, man. I don't fully grasp some of it. But I'm thinking, if I'm close enough to be, because to me, if my wife's in the back of the church, this is 80 feet, I wouldn't consider myself with her. If my wife's in here in the sanctuary, I would consider I'm with her. We're pretty close here. If we're the only ones in a garden, I'm with her right now. So if I look over and I see some creature talking to her, I'm going, what's going on? I don't know. Like I said, maybe I'm wrong. I just, when I see that, I'm like, man, how could he do that? It's our responsibility. I know that most women don't like that nowadays. We live in a generation women think that they can do everything a man can do. I just want you to know that's hogwash. There's things that men do that women can't do. There's things that women do that men can't do. There's things that men do that women can't do. And there's some things that men do that women should not do. I still believe and I still stand. I know it offends some people. I hope it don't offend you in here. But I still believe that women have no business on the front line fighting a war. I don't care what anybody, I don't care whether they're Jews or Gentiles. I know that people say, well, the Jews, but men and women, both of them have to serve like 2 years in the military. I don't care what they do. I believe that women have no business being up on the front line fighting. That's men's responsibility. I'm glad Ukraine had some guts to stand up and say the truth. If you saw that, the Ukraine government ordered all men, 18 to 60 to stand and fight. Men have if a woman wants to volunteer, though, that's on them. But I just believe that that's a job that men. Hey, that's same. It's not just that. These women want equal rights, man. I worked for 12, almost 13 years, electrician. I never met a woman electrician. You want to know why? Because it's hard work when you get out there and handling a four inch stick of rigid pipe is around 90 pounds. There ain't many men that can handle it all day, let alone women. If a woman wants to do those things, that's more than glad if she wants to do the same thing as a man, if she can do it. I know that it's not popular in our day and time. That's just like women going in the military. Hey, if a woman wants to go to the military, that's fine. If a woman wants to go on the front line, that's fine. But she ought to have to pass the same standards as a man has to pass. Because I don't want some woman up there. I don't want a man up there that they've lowered the standards for that can't drag my butt out of the front line of shooting. You know what I'm saying? I know that offends some people. But if I get shot, and I don't care if it's a man or woman dragging me, but I want to know that they can drag my 240-pound butt out of there if I get shot. I need to be dragged off the front line. I don't care who it is. That's why I don't think y'all lower the standards. That's free. That didn't cost you nothing extra. Let me move on now. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. So that's the innocency there we see that they had. They were both naked. That was not a problem at that point. This is why we preach hard against nakedness. When God comes in here and deals with their sin, the first thing he deals with is their nakedness. He didn't even deal with the fact that they took the apple or a pear, Lord forgive me, the fruit. We do not know. I don't want somebody to come back to me afterwards and say, Preacher, you're wrong. We don't know. We do not know. There is nowhere in Scripture that I know of. And again, if you can show me, I'll admit that I'm wrong. But I have read through the Bible and I've never seen it. We do not know. If I said this, if I'd asked some of you to raise your hand and say, it's an apple preacher, wouldn't you? Y'all know you would have. My daughter's folk would have too. We do not know what kind of fruit it was. We do not. Forbidden. It's forbidden fruit. That's all we know. Well, some of it's an apple. It's a pear. We do not know. We don't know if it's something it's totally forbidden and not allowed. We don't know. I'm just letting it be out there. So if anybody ever asks, you know, I'm giving you some good Bible. If you ain't learned something tonight, then you know a lot more than I realize. But you done learned tonight that the flood didn't last just 40 days. The rain did. And you learned tonight that we don't know what kind of fruit they actually ate of. Okay? The serpent, hey, the serpent had legs at this point too, by the way. I don't know if it looks something like a lizard or not, but the serpent had legs. We know this because after this, God cursed him to walk on his belly. That's why snakes crawl around on their belly, so that you got a better chance to kill it, whatever you need to, you know. I don't kill certain ones, but you know what? I'd kill a rattlesnake or something like that if it's around me. All right, so those are those verses of Scripture there. The innocency, we see the innocence, innocency in that they did not know that they were naked, that they did not understand what nakedness is. Children do not understand what nakedness is, okay? They have to be taught. And the way they are taught, you'll know it. Listen, my children, even at a young age, Maggie, I remember, was probably the same age as Bonnie, maybe even younger. We were riding through. I could take you to the spot right down from our church, right down on Old Wesley Chapel. She was young, 4 or 5 years old. You know as good as well as I do, 4 or 5 year olds don't pay that much attention in church. We're riding down the road. There's a guy on his lawnmower out on a Sunday mowing the grass. Maggie looks over and goes, "Ooh, that guy's naked." He's out there with no shirt on. She knew what nakedness was at 4 or 5 years old. Nobody really had to teach her that. She knows you ain't paying attention in church. It ain't something we taught her. We taught her, because she's a girl, that she needs to be covered up. But she knew enough that knew that it wasn't right, because she knew she ain't seen her daddy like that. She knew that she's not allowed to run around with no shirt on. Therefore, she knew, children understand what they've been taught. They a lot more than we give them credit for. You listen, you could take somebody right now that's not raised in church You could take about a 7-year-old little girl that's not been raised in church, but has not been allowed to walk around in a bathing suit, bikini, and you take her out, and you put her bikini, and you put her up here at the pool, and you know what she feels? Ashamed. She'll be red and blushing, and she'll be looking around at who's looking at me. Why is that? Because she knows God's put it in her heart to know what nakedness is. And God's put in all of us to know this is nakedness. From neck to knee is nakedness. You may have been taught otherwise, or you may have come to accept otherwise, but 50 years ago, the standard was that people stayed covered. Hollywood, this is why a lot of preachers preached against Hollywood and that garbage that goes on, because they continue to push and push. You've got people now showing, I'm not trying to get nasty now, but you've got people now walking out in public with clothes on, because it's clothes, and you can see right through it, and you can see their parts. The women. You got women over here. A couple years ago, my wife and I read the story to a woman sued over here in Colorado because it was not right. And the whatever district we're in, sixth or whatever, I don't remember what district court we're under, ruled that it was illegal for them to find that woman, that women can walk around now shirtless just like a man can. We're going down in society. We're going down to society. We're not going up. They knew they were naked immediately, and God dealt with their nakedness. That was free. All right, go with me to Romans chapter 10. I'm just going to get through this one tonight. I was going to go through the virgin birth too, but we're not going to have time tonight. I'm long-winded. Chapter 3, verse 10, sorry. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none of us that are righteous in the standing of God. There's none of us that is in our own righteousness, in our own goodness, that can stand before God. We are all sinners. The Bible makes that very clear. There is none righteous. No teacher, no principal, no pastor, no preacher, no Sunday school teacher, no choir leader, no church leader in general, no layman in the church, nobody sitting on the church pew, no drunkard at the... There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all under sin. All humans are sinful by nature. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody born after the similitude of Adam, everyone of the seed of Adam has sinned. Jesus was not after the seed of Adam. He is born of a virgin. He is conceived of the Holy Ghost, and we'll get into that next week. So go with me now to chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5:12 says, whereby as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. A lot of times, and I'm probably just as guilty, and if you've heard me say it, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. A lot of times we blame Eve. It's all Eve's fault. You know, y'all know the jokes. It's all Eve's fault. Da, da, da. In God's eyes, it's Adam's fault. As whereby one man sinned. That doesn't mean man as in like when we consider man in general. No one man. God's talking about Adam. God held Adam to a higher standard. As whereby one man sinned, we're all plunged into death because of Adam. Because of Adam's sin. Whereby, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Go with me now to Galatians 3:23, and I'll be done with this one tonight. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. We're all under sin. We're all under the fall of man. We all deserve to be in hell. We all deserve to be cast into that lake of fire one day. Just because you're raised in a preacher's home does not mean that you deserve it any less than anybody else. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You'll not get to heaven because your dad's a preacher. You'll not get to heaven because you're a member of this of a Baptist church or Methodist church or Lutheran church. You'll not get to heaven because you've been baptized. You'll get to heaven because you believe by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone for the full remission of your sins. There's nothing else that'll get you into heaven than Jesus Christ. If Jesus can't get us into heaven, there's nothing that we can do to get into heaven. He's God in the flesh. We believe that, right? He's God in the flesh. It says He offered one sacrifice forever for the remission of sins. If His sacrifice on Calvary's cross can't get us into heaven, there's nothing that can. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nothing else that remains, the Bible says. If Jesus can't get us into heaven, we can't get there. If you're trusting in anything else, you won't get to heaven either. It's Jesus or nothing. The fall of man is because one man chose. See, the woman was deceived, but Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Plunged us all into a Christless possibility of a Christless hell by one man's sin. But the good part is, the Bible says there in those scriptures there, and I think it's in Romans chapter number 5, though it is by one man's sin, whereby one man's sin entered into the world, the good part is it says that he says, where's that scripture? He says, whereby one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, sin reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him to come. But not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one man that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing else that you can add to it. One man sinned, and we all were plunged into death. But by one man, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, as by one man's sacrifice, we all have a possibility of eternal life, a free gift, if we'll accept it. I hope tonight you've accepted His free gift. If you've not, you ought to call upon the name of the Lord tonight while there's time. Let's all stand. The fall of man, Adam sinned, and we're under the penalty of death. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you ought to come to this altar and ask Jesus Christ.